please have a seat. It's nice to meet you again, and thank you, Reverend Neville, for this opportunity to share God's word with us. Today, we'll be continuing on our journey through the book of Joshua, and I'll be reading from Joshua chapter number 2, from verse 1. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent 2 spies from Shittim. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman had taken the 2 men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax which she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Verse 8. Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. "If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land." So she led them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, "Go to the hills so that the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourself there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way." Now the men had said to her, "This oath you made us swear will not be binding on us unless, when we had entered the land, you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you've brought your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family into your house. If any of them go outside your house into the streets, their blood will be on their heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you have made us swear." "Agreed," she replied. "Let it be as you said." So she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied a scarlet cord in the window. When they had left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, further the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. 24 and the last. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Now, that's quite a lengthy read, but I felt it was important to read the whole story, and then we crack on to talk about it in a little bit of more detail. Today, I would like to talk to us on what I titled, Trust God, Trust His Process. Trust God, Trust His Process. And if you recall, this is the 15th day of the new year, and God has great things in store for us. He wants us to be awake to our spiritual responsibilities. He wants us to align with Him, and He wants us to advance His kingdom on the earth. During the session where Reverend Neville would ask a few questions last week, Liz highlighted for us what her expectations from God is for this year. And I picked a few things out of it. One, it's expect a great move of God. Two, expect healing on the streets, miracles in the marketplace. Three, we must be ready to put fear into the enemy's camp by yielding to the Holy Spirit and refusing to be our own hindrances. And when Reverend preached on Sunday last week, he was clear to help us appreciate that life is a journey. Just like the children of Israel were on a journey from Egypt through the wilderness to Canaan or the promised land. I would like us to see Egypt as a place of not enough. The wilderness, they had manna and they had the bread that they used to eat for over 40 years. That was just a place of just enough. And then God was taking them to Canaan or the promised land, which was a place of more than enough, where the land was flowing with milk and honey. So I want us to believe that God is taking us from a place of lack of fruit to a place of abundance of fruit, a place of fruitfulness. And this will require preparation, like He shared with us, beginning with admitting that it can only be by the help of God that we will be able to achieve and accomplish what God has in store for us this year. So it means we have to be on the same page with God, doing what God wants us to do and focusing on our assignment. So this morning, I want to take that discussion further by looking at Joshua chapter 2, and I want to quickly run through the highlights of Joshua chapter 2. Number one was that Joshua sent spies to Jericho for fact-finding. He had to send these men to go to Jericho just to find what kind of people are they, what manner of persons are they, what's their culture, how can we penetrate this almost impregnable city, how can we take over the city. Secondly, God led the spies to the house of a prostitute, and this lady was instrumental in securing them and helping Israel secure the victory. The question would be, could there not be another better place God could have sent them to? Why does it have to be in a place where you shouldn't expect responsible people to go to? Third would be that Jericho was the first major city they needed to conquer. The people of Israel needed to conquer in order to gain a foothold on the promised land. But they were not sure whether they were up for it. They weren't confident whether they were up for it. And finally, the spies made a binding agreement with the lady that hosted them. And they told her, as long as you are able to keep to the part of your bargain, we will be able to keep to our own side of the bargain. Now, how does this affect you and I in a 21st century world, postmodern world? The first thing I want us to see from that test is that faith, having faith in God or putting our trust in God, does not imply a lack of strategy. that I believe that God is going to move me from point A to point B does not preclude me from planning. That God has said, I am going to give you the land of Canaan, does not mean that Joshua would have to fold his hands and wait for it to automatically happen. In Deuteronomy chapter number 1 and verse 7, God 6 and 7, God said to Joshua, you have dwelt long enough on this mountain. Break camp and advance. Arise. Remember, we talked about awake, align, and advance. In verse 7 of Deuteronomy 1, he says, break camp and do what? Advance. But that God gave that instruction did not mean that it would happen automatically. That means that when God gives us a word, he places a responsibility on us to step out. Joshua chapter Deuteronomy 2:24, God said to them, see, I have given to you Sihon, the king of Amorites. I have given to you his land and his country. Now arise and take possession of it. Arise and take possession of it. So God has given the word. Great is the company of them that publish it. They have to be on the move. They have to strategize. What has God said to us this year? What has God said to you as a person, 2023? It will come to pass, but it will require your cooperation with him. It will require your acting on what God has said. The fact that God has made a promise to you as a person or to us as a church does not mean that we should rest on our oars, waiting for the promises to carry out themselves automatically. In simple terms, I want to submit to you that faith without work is useless. Faith without work is dead. Every promise of God requires us to trust him and to trust his process of bringing it to pass. So it starts with our trusting God, believing that what God says will happen, and then we begin to pay attention to God. How do you want these things to be? Remember, God said to Mary, you are going to have a son through the angel. What question did Mary ask the angel? Mary was visited by angel Gabriel. You are going to get pregnant and you have a son. And the son will be the son of the Most High. What did Mary say to the angel? How can these things be? I'm trying to say, you have to ask how. You have to find out the how. How am I going to preach to my neighbor? How am I going to increase my financial commitment to the church? How am I going to be available on Tuesday, 7 o'clock, to participate in the prayer? It's not, oh, God has said it. It will happen. Yes, it will happen. Then I fold my hands. No. Faith does not exclude strategy. God says you are going to graduate with first class in university. Great. How? God says, I'm going to make you a great name. Abraham asked him, how? I have no son. You are talking about a great nation. I've got no son. How? So, faith in God does not stop you from strategizing, planning. No one goes to a war without first counting the costs. That's one of the things that have been discussed across Europe. Did Europe count the cost of Ukraine and Russia war properly before it was started? No one goes to war without what? First counting the cost. No one builds a house, I think it's Luke 14:28, without first seeing if he has what it takes to complete it. So faith in God does not hinder us from strategizing, from planning, from taking stock. Then Number two is that when we put our trust in God, we have to trust his process of how he wants to do it. Because his process oftentimes wouldn't be the way we would have done it by ourselves. Look at what happened here. God has put it in the heart of Joshua to send two spies. And on arrival, they are lodging in the house of a prostitute. It is easy to assume that those men might be men of easy virtue. It's easy to say that they are not full of character. But God had something in mind when he led them to the house of a harlot. You would have expected them to settle somewhere much better, somewhere less exposed to these kind of practices. But that was where God led them to, because God has a purpose for the process. There was something God had seen that these spies were only actors to bringing it to pass. All they needed to do was trust the process. I may not like the process, but if I am a child of God, and if God is involved in the plans that of my life, in the things he's put in my spirit that would happen, what I've got to do is to trust the process. Job would say he knows the way that I would take. For when he would have tried me, I will come forth as gold. The process oftentimes may not be palatable. The process oftentimes may not fit into what you expect. What was the process? Go to the house of a prostitute. Now, remember that Rahab is a citizen of Jericho. She knows nothing about the God of Israel. But listen to this woman called Rahab. Despite being a foreigner to the God of Israel, she identified with his great works. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11, she says, I know that the Lord, okay, let me start from verse 9. I know that the Lord has given you this land. She wasn't speaking as an Israelite. She was speaking as a citizen of Jericho. She says, I know that your Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. By that singular proclamation, she was counted as a righteous woman. That's a prostitute, don't forget. That's a harlot. That's someone of easy virtue. She hasn't been preached to. She only said, we heard. This couldn't have been ordinary. There must be a God somewhere who is working things out for you guys. So because of what we heard, I know that this Jericho God has given it to you. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that by that singular act of defending, hiding the spies, believing that God of heaven had already given them the land, that God has a plan for her as well, she was counted as righteous. Look at Hebrews 11. In the heroes of faith chronology of Hebrews, she was one of the women, herself and Deborah, mentioned in that scripture. In Matthew chapter 1, in the chronology of Jesus Christ, she was one of the four women recorded. In fact, you know that the Jewish culture were more paternalistic. So oftentimes, when they write genealogy, they only mention the names of men. But they mentioned her. Something must have stood out about this lady. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that God turned a prostitute into a righteous woman because she trusted the process. She went along with, she didn't know what the outcome would be, but she went along with what God wants. The spies didn't know what the outcome would be, but they went along with what God wanted them to do. If God can turn a harlot into a righteous woman, James 2:25, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? If God can turn a prostitute into a righteous woman, there is nothing God cannot do. That means God can remedy any situation, no matter how irredeemable the situation is. That implies that God can heal any disease, no matter how chronic the disease has lasted. That means that God can save any sinner, no matter how sinful his or her sins are. That implies that no situation is beyond the reach of God if only you can trust the process. Thirdly, another point I want to bring up from Joshua chapter 2 is that the things you are afraid of are truly afraid of you rising in faith. The things you and I are afraid of, they are actually afraid of us rising in faith. Julie helped us sing a song this morning. Let faith be the song that rises when the storms of life appear. Let faith arise. If faith arises within you, the things you are afraid of becomes afraid of you. The things you think are insurmountable becomes an easy nut to crack. In Numbers 13, 31 to 33, Moses sent 12 spies whilst they were still in the wilderness to go and look at this same land of Canaan. Those 12 spies, 10 of them brought a bad report. What did they say? They found themselves incapable of victory. They said, but the man who had gone up with him said, we can't. I always tell my children, remove the T from the can't. I can't. I said, remove the T from the can't. We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are. That was their submission. They are stronger than we are. In Numbers chapter 14, the next chapter, in verse 6, Joshua brought a word from the Lord to these people. Joshua told them, the land is good. The people are like bread to us. He said to them, the land is good, exceedingly good. The other 10 said, we can't. They are bigger. They are stronger. Joshua said, the land is exceedingly, not just good, it's exceedingly good. They went with the report of the 12. What happened? All that generation died in the wilderness, according to the scripture. And then a new generation, other than Joshua and Caleb, crossed the Jordan River to take possession of this land. Now, 40 years down the line, did you see the difference? Look at what Rahab said. It says, Rahab said in Joshua 2 verse 10, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and a great fear of you has fallen on us. 40 years before, they said, we can't. They are stronger. 40 years the people later, the people in the land are saying, we are terrified. We can't. We can't. Now you can, but we, the owners of the land, we can't. What has changed? What has happened? Faith has arisen. That's what has changed. That's the difference. The things you are afraid of do not measure up to the strength of the God backing you. Isaiah 40 and verse 27, we say, do you not know? Speaking to you directly. Have you not heard? The Lord your God is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, some versions will say, but those who trust, I said, trust God, trust his process. For those who hope in the Lord will renew or change their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The things that make us fearful and afraid are actually terrified by the greatness of the God we serve. Joshua 2:11 says, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. So what should be your response when you are faced with the things that terrify you? When 2023 is filled with a lot of uncertainty, when you do not know the direction your life or family or marriage or church or ministry or whatever assignment is in your hand is heading, when you appear to be confused, you cannot make a specific decision. Sometimes the decisions are not in your hands to make. What do you do? Let faith arise. Let faith arise. What do you do when you are confronted with situations that make you fear to throw in the towel? I've got good news for you. Face your fears. The children of Israel had to face the Red Sea. They had to face the Jordan River. They had to face the wall of Jericho. Did they overcome all three? Yes. Did it mean they were not afraid at any point in time? No. But what did they do? They depended on the strength of the God of Israel. For strong is he that executes his word. So God has made a promise. He will back it up to fulfillment. They depended on God. Face your fears. I'm a psychiatrist, and how do we treat phobias in psychiatry? We bring it to you. We are just there with you. Whatever you're afraid of, we expose it to you. We call it exposure therapy, flooding therapy, implosion therapy, systematic desensitization. Whatever name we give it, it's only we find a suitable way, prepare you for it, and bring the things you're afraid of. We bring it to you. There is no way we can treat it without presenting that to you. Once you get used to it, your fear mechanisms go down and the phobia stops. So what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? When the children of Israel were afraid of the Red Sea, God says, move towards it, not backwards. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? That thing is afraid of you. All you need to do is run towards it. David, what did he do towards Goliath? He ran towards him. What did Saul and the army do? every day for 40 days backwards. Face your fear. Let faith be the song that overcomes the raging storm. Let faith be the song that overcomes the raging sea. Let faith arise. Our ability to overcome our fear in life is not reposed in our humanness. It is reposed in the strength of our God. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, you and I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Finally, the fourth point I want to pick out of that scripture is that Rahab had an agreement with the spies. As long as I leave the scarlet cord on the window of my walls, nothing will happen to me. The spies also said, as long as we do not divulge what God is about to do, nothing will happen to you. And they agreed. Now, the question I ask myself, why a scarlet rope? Why a rope? And why a scarlet collar? I thought about it and I tried to search how high the wall of Jericho was. And I found different numbers. Some are saying because of how it was built on a high point about 46 feet above the sea level, the wall did not necessarily have to be that high, but the wall, being 46 feet above the sea level, was still estimated to be between 4 to 8 meters tall on top of 46 feet above the sea level. So that suggests that whatever rope they were going to use to let the spies down had to be long. It has to be quite a lengthy rope. And I view that rope as God being patient with us. God being patient with us. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. He's patient because he doesn't want you to die without knowing Christ. He's saying he does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Why did the robe have to be of a scarlet color? Scarlet means bright red color. And that tells you about blood. The blood, the arterial blood is bright red. The venous blood is dark red. Scarlet is largely believed to be bright red. And you've had a communion this morning. The drink you had, what color was it? It's all a symbol of the precious blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish. The rope led them down to their way of escape. It led them down to their salvation. Jesus is still interested in your soul. A songwriter many years ago said, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? To bring this message to a close, I want to say that God wants us to advance. God wants us to conquer new grounds. God wants us to enter new frontiers. God wants us to broaden our horizons. But we will face daunting difficulties. We will face obstruction. We will face challenges. The question is, do you and I trust God enough to go through the process with him? Are you in it for the long haul? What are the things that you fear? What are the things that are hindering you and I from taking the next step to our victory? It is time we face these in faith. It is time to rise up in the spirit of faith and confront our fears. The good news is that with God on our side, we will be able to advance and overcome our fears. Just like the scarlet rope was a token of the covenant between Rahab and the spies, the blood of Jesus is a token of God's covenant to wash away our sins and to bring us to the place of protection. Let's bow down our heads as we pray. I would like you, wherever you are, to, regardless of who is sitting close to you, talk to God. You could do that loudly, you could do that silently, but just speak to God based on the things you've heard. When we pray, we bow down our heads, not because we can't open our eyes and do that, but just to be able to gather ourselves together, not be distracted and focus. So where you are, if you would like, just say, God, here I am. These are the things I'm struggling with. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's debt. Maybe it's housing crisis. Maybe it's whatever it could be, family crisis. Maybe it's my grandkids. Maybe it's my son in Scotland or my relative in Africa or somewhere else. I want you to say, Lord, I am tired of running from my fears. I would face it. Show me the how. Help me to trust the process. Reveal to me the things I need to do to have a different outcome in 2023. Let me know the decisions I have to make. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer. Lead me through this pilgrim land. Help me to arrive at the destination you have set out for me. Are you active in this local assembly? Can you pray and pray for Ellen Blackpool Church? Can you say to God, God, the things you want us to do in 2023, show us the how. Show us the path. The Bible declares, I will show you the path of life, for in my presence is fullness of joy. There is a path of life. Have you not made a decision to become a Christian? I want you to make that decision this morning. I told you that these spies were let down on a basket with a long rope. God is extending a hand of fellowship. He's saying, come. He's saying, I died for you. God is saying, I love you. God is saying, I want to be involved in your life. I want you to just say, Lord Jesus, I know you died on my place. I want to accept you today. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Take away the power of sin and death over my life. And let my life become a new creation. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for everyone who has come under the voice, under the sound of my voice this morning. I want to pray that this month and this year, you will help us as individuals and as a family to trust you. Help us to put our faith in Jesus. Help us to trust the process. Help us to go along with your plan for our lives. Most importantly, we want to pray about the things that we are terrified about. We want to pray about the things that make us afraid. We want to pray about the things that are chronic in our lives, the things that we think we may not be able to overcome. Lord, we come under the spirit of faith through the Holy Spirit, and we pray that as you show us the how and as we trust your process, every wall of Jericho facing us will crumble and crash. Every difficult situation we are encountering, Lord, we would know what to do. You will show us the how, and we will trust in the process. Lord, I want to pray for everyone who may be going through a difficult situation in their life, in their health, in their finances. People struggling with depression, loneliness, struggling with family crisis. I want to pray the peace of God in that situation right now. Those who have credit card debts, financial debts, they don't know the way out. Lord, I want to pray the peace of God over that situation. I want to pray that by your Holy Spirit, you minister to them how to overcome their challenges. The Bible says in Luke 5:17 that when Jesus taught, they brought people who were sick and he healed them all. Is there anyone who's come to church today although they were sick? Anyone listening at home who is sick? As a church, we pray, let the healing power of God reach you. Just like the power of God turned a harlot to a righteous woman, may the power of God turn your sickness into health. I pray that God, by his Holy Spirit, would do great and marvelous things for you. This week and this month and this year, I pray for everyone who's got plans for the year, but they do not know how this will come to pass. I pray that God will guide them, show them, and help them actualize more than their plans. Lord, in our spiritual walk, finally, I pray that this year we will find reasons to be fruitful in the house of the Lord. Thank you for having spoken to us this morning. Thank you because we will come back with testimonies of what God has done. For in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.